Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You get Bart and Hahn today. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott in for the guys. You're welcome. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. The number is 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to be part of the conversation. And Bart, Donovan Mitchell is still not officially with the Knicks. So we just continue to wait. I don't know if I'm going to pull some kind of like radio stunt where I just like sleep up on a billboard or something and I will not leave this roof until he is traded to the Knicks. I don't know. Do I have to do that now?
You better block all calls coming from South Beach. Jam the signals while he's out here in New
Pat
York,
Riley.
Right at his
Pat Riley at a
basketball camp. You better jam the
signals.
Seriously,
Pat, haven't you done enough? Haven't you taken enough? Like, can you just?
Like, it's like a personal vendetta against.
Do me a favor, Pat. Dwayne Wade, Pat. Lay out for once. Lay out. It's all I ask you to do for once.
See,
just
but
this one time.
If he goes to Miami, would you try and get them for tampering because you say that Dwayne Wade, because he worked for Utah, pushed him to Miami?
He is a sleeper cell. He is in ownership in Utah, and it's like, he's a sleeper cell. They planted him there.
It might be the only reason. Yeah, it might be he's a Manchurian candidate.
Anyways, we wait on that. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. We want you to tune into a National League battle Sunday. The Mets and the Padres, Bart. I know you're excited.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. And no, we're not going to talk about what happened in Houston yesterday. I just don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we should talk about something that you've got people so pissed off, which is like, it's just a day. It's like the days that Bart pisses people off usually end in day. So we have what Bart said on our show earlier this week. Bart and Hahn, noon Eastern, every day, is he said that he doesn't believe Dak Prescott should be a top 10 quarterback. In fact, he said Dak's really not even a top 15 quarterback. And in the previous segment, we talked about the 15 quarterbacks that you could see going ahead of him, one of them being Jameis Winston.
Right.
That you you're 10 tones down on this one, right? You are firmly trenched in on this. You believe that. Well, a lot of people want to argue with you. Some people actually agree with you. So let's have fun and just go with the people that are arguing with you. Now, I'll get some agreements too, but CJ in Florida, he says you're wrong. CJ.
Good morning.
Morning.
Bart, this pains me being a fellow Pistons fan, but you are way off of the Dak Prescott thing. First of all, I think you, Max and other guys, are taking your hate for the Cowboys and projecting on Dak.
I don't hate the Cowboys.
12-5 last year. Hold on. Hear me out. 12-5 last year, coming off a gruesome injury.
Yep.
What does he do week one? Go in and outplay Brady. Mm-hmm. If not for a terrible kicking game, he wins 13 or 14 games last year. Mm-hmm. If you said you had
a
quarterback, 62% winning percentage,
mm-hmm.
complete 67% of his passes,
mm-hmm.
3-1 touchdown interception ratio.
Yep.
And you guys want to hype somebody like Herbert who hasn't made a playoff game?
Ooh.
And Winston, the last time we saw Winston in a full season was a 30-30 guy?
Yeah, but
he's actually thrown 50 picks in his entire career.
Hold on, but tell me this. Do we agree that environment matters? So Jameis Winston was the number one overall pick for a reason, right? That means Tampa was pretty bad. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year as well. Like, and he was in a system that was no risk it, no biscuit. But he still led the team to 9-7. He goes over to the Saints where he sits behind Drew Brees. He learns how to be a professional, learns how to take care of the football. He has him 5-2 before he gets a gruesome injury. He's a better thrower of the football. He's a winner, always have been a winner. And I think we're going to see the best of Jameis. Meanwhile, you go to Dak Prescott. He was brought in the third round to a team that was considered a perennial playoff contender with Tony Romo. He's not won but one playoff game. He's a 2-11 against any quarterback that we feel is a above top 10 quarterback. He's 2-11 against those quarterbacks. He's come up short in the playoffs. He's had arguably one of the best rosters in football. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, the same argument that I make for Jameis Winston, it's the same argument that I was making about Matthew Stafford last year. He changed his environment, and then now everybody agrees that he's a great quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. He can make comeback wins. What I'm trying to tell you is Jameis Winston, with Michael Thomas, with Alvin Kamara, with the guy from Ohio State, and with Jarvis Landry, will show everybody that he is as talented as we thought he was when he came out of Florida State. Alave.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I really wanted to hear.
And then the crazy part is we're arguing to see with the 15th person on my list. So, okay, he's 14. Congratulations. But it's the first 12. You can't even argue.
13, if you really wanted to take it that far.
Yeah. Like, but we sit there arguing. They argue me like, Bart, well, with one
let's
person.
Hear from more people. There might be people that agree with you. Let's hear from some more people. We go to Georgia. We talk to Robert. Robert.
Hey, Bart, let me tell you something, man. Don't you ever, ever change who you are. I don't care what nobody say. That personality, man, hey, it's got you where you are, brother. And telling the truth has got you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott, let me tell you something. I'm 51 years old, but check this out. I've been watching football long enough to take football knowledge over what I want any day. Dak Prescott is not even close to being nowhere near the top 15. Hey, he had a good little stint. He got on a good Hollywood team. But here's the thing about Hollywood teams. Once they get enough tape on anybody, they're going to find a way to neutralize you and stop you. Ask Cam Newton. But check this out. You cannot put that guy where these other guys were. You know, like you said, move him up to 14. Oh, well. But, you know, you're going to piss off Cowboy Nation because that's who they are. But let me tell you something. Don't ever change
for nobody,
man. Keep talking the truth, brother. I'll holler at you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Robert.
I mean, when you look at it, is the comparison to Tony Romo, is that absurd? Tony Romo was more talented as a quarterback than Dak Prescott. His ability to understand and break down defenses, and he still came up short. I'm telling you, Dak Prescott is not a better quarterback or more talented quarterback than Tony Romo. And what do we think about Tony Romo? Thank you. Mic drop. Like, he's 14. Tony Romo was a talented quarterback. He just couldn't stay healthy.
Right. And then, of course, there was the little trip he made before the playoff game that upset a lot of those Cowboys players.
Oh, yeah, I'd bet on Jessica Simpson
curse. Giants were happy about it, though. We go to Juan in Pennsylvania. Juan.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we got you.
Bart, I am a Cowboys fan, but I do come from a realistic perspective. I haven't been happy with the Cowboys' overall performance for the past few years. However, piggybacking off the last conversation you just had with the guy that came on, you wanted to talk about culture and you want to talk about putting together rosters and all that. What has Aaron Rodgers done? What has Josh Allen done in the past few years with, I guess, better cultures, more well put together rosters, and obviously way better coaching? I mean, Dak was drafted by Jason Garrett, who did nothing but hold the team back, was horrible on third and short, decided to always pass the ball instead of giving it to Zeke,
but
putting Dak in bad spots in the red zone. This has been happening even from Garrett continuing on to Mike McCarthy, even with a phenom offensive coordinator and Kellen Moore. I mean, the culture itself in Dallas, the coaching in Dallas, has not been basically to playing the Dak strength.
Oh, okay, you asked
and
me.
I think that's,
you asked me what did he do with Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. Like, now we're going to just say Jason Garrett is a bum? Like, come on, you can't say he's not a bum. You know, so, like, Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. You arguably got three head coaches on your squad right now. When you think about, you know, Kellen Moore is a coaching candidate. When you think about Mike McCarthy is a Super Bowl winning coach, all of a sudden now he's a bum. And then, you know, Dan Quinn, y'all think should be y'all head coach. So, I mean, like, come on, man. Sometimes, you know, quarterbacks should be able to – was it a problem with the offense? Do we think the offensive plays that he was getting wasn't well? They gave him the best offensive line for years in the NFL. They gave him one of the best elite running backs for years. He couldn't perform at a high level, so they traded a future first-round draft pick to get him a number one receiver. Then they drafted CeeDee Lamb. They don't act like he hasn't had great talent around him. But what he did is he did exactly what you do with good talent. You have a good record, a respectable record, respectable numbers. But when he went against the elite of the elite, he always comes up short.
Right. That's your
2-11.
Right. That's where.
Meanwhile, I went to three Super Bowls. I went to three NFC championships.
So you're not saying that he's right. You're not saying he's a bum.
No.
You're
15
said
is not a bum. I didn't say he's 32.
But you said he has moments where he looks like a top five
right
guy. But then there's, you know, in a big spot, you don't see it.
Did I say 32? How about let's congratulate the ones that are 14 and above, because I feel like the quarterback position has never been as deep with great young talent. And I credit like Under Armour and all these youth leagues, because these guys come in and they're more equipped to be passers of the ball. Right? Mm-hmm. Before, you didn't have to be a great passer because the game was ran by the running game. But let's give some credit, right? The same way we see some of these basketball players come in, we got to give credit to AAU and travel basketball. Let's give some credit to 7-on-7. Let's give some credit to that, because I feel like the quarterback position is being played at a higher level than it's ever been played before. So number 15 isn't traditionally what the number 15 used to be 15 years ago, as far as the ability to lead a team and throw the football. But now, you later, can't say that if he's not 15, he's 14, and that's not what you pay somebody that type of money for.
Right. Now Bart's not afraid to call a guy a bum. We've done Bart's bum list many times, and later on in the show, we're going to get Bart's bum list on the quarterbacks, but bottom five in the league, who he thinks starting quarterbacks, bottom five, Dak clearly not in that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Scott's in Michigan. What's up, Scott? Scott?
Damn, Scott, you was from the mitten, too.
Yeah, that's from your home.
You must have got singular.
What?
Probably northern Michigan, where the signal's just not right.
Yeah, he up there with the Upers. The Amish, you know what I'm saying? You know, one cell tower.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's been waiting? I want to get somebody that's been waiting a bit. We go to Robert in South Carolina on this. Okay, Robert.
Hey, good morning, guys. Bart, you know, I'm 55 years old, man. I've been a Cowboy fan since I probably can remember football. Now, you said, you tell me, you said Herbert.
Yes.
Winston.
Yep.
Ivy Stanford. You said they're ahead of Prescott.
You don't think Matthew Stafford's above? He outdo Brady.
Because he won a Super Bowl.
No,
this year,
because he came back.
He was in Detroit.
Because what do you mean? He was in the most dysfunctional. I told you, environment matters.
What did he do in Detroit, Bart?
What did Dak do with one?
He got a ready-made team. He comes to the Rams and he wins a Super Bowl.
That's not the Cowboys. Been a ready-made team.
Now he's the greatest.
Hold up. Dak Prescott had arguably three Hall of Fame linemen when you talk about Frederick before he had to retire, Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, Ezekiel Elliott, Jason Witten, who's a Hall of Famer. He played with DeMarcus Ware. He has Lawrence. Like, what am I missing as far as Dak Prescott being on a great roster? He never had to play with a horrible roster. He's never been on a team that was void of talent. He's always had a great running back. He's always had one, if not two, great receivers. And it's yielded you one. Listen, I played with Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez had more. He has more road playoff wins than Dak has home playoff wins.
Yeah, there hasn't been a that. That's been the part. That's been the part that's been the most, I think, frustrating. We got to leave it right there. But I think if you're a Cowboys fan, that's the part you're waiting to see is show up when it matters most. Winning, you know, in the playoffs.
They're always a playoff contender, right?
Yeah.
They're always a Super Bowl contender before the season starts. Oh, look out for Dallas. How many times have we said that? Mm-hmm. Since the 90s.
Yeah, but everybody else gets the blame, whether it's the head coach, whether it's another player, whether it's the defense, whatever it is, or whether it's even now Zeke. Everybody else gets the blame. So, but that's how Bart feels about it. You can continue with this conversation with him, as we will throughout the rest of the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, in for the guys today. And like I said, we have your calls, and we will get back to this conversation and many other things to talk about. But let's go to Cleveland and talk with Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for us at ESPN. And you know, we talked with Jeremy Fowler earlier in the show, and Fowler kind of indicated that maybe today could be the day that we get some kind of news on a Deshaun Watson suspension. So as we bring Jake Trotter in with us right now, Jake, do you have any indication of whether, you know, Friday news dump, that whether it's today or whether it's something that is impending? Because training camps do open next week, and the Browns would probably like to know how long they're going to have to be without their QB1.
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, no indication that we'll hear anything today, but it's certainly possible. Well, I'll just put it this way. I've cleared out my schedule this afternoon. I don't have anything planned just in case. So could be today, could be early next week, could be after the start of training camp. We don't know. It just comes down to when Sue L. Robinson, the disciplinary officer, makes her decision, and that's a total unknown, at least to everybody in Cleveland right now.
I mean, when you look at the signing of Josh Rosen, not exactly the elite, not waiting for Jimmy G or some other quarterback to maybe be available, does that signal that maybe Cleveland knows something that we don't know?
I don't believe so. You know, this is the plan they've had in place for a long time. You know, just talking to people in the building, you know, for the last few weeks, their plan all along was to bring in another backup caliber quarterback, because their plan has been, if Deshaun Watson is suspended, Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starter, and they've always felt like they needed another backup quarterback to compete with Josh Jobs for that backup job behind Brissett for as long as Watson is out. Now, if Watson is suspended significantly, like if he's out for 12 games the whole year, you know, could they reevaluate those plans? I think that's possible. But right now, they're really just following through on the plans they've had in place for a while. And I don't think it's a signal that they know anything about the length of time that Watson is going to be out.
Jake, we've seen some reports already suggesting that it likely won't be a full season. Like some of us maybe were wondering if it would be. There was some speculation recently that it could be as much as a full year, or the league would be seeking a full year. But recent reports are suggesting it could be as few as, 6 to 8 games. And I've even seen a report saying 2, which, you know, again, that would be a big surprise, I think, considering the all the different allegations. What are you hearing? What do you think it will end up being for Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, we're all speculating based on, you know, what people who are in the hearing feel like is going to happen. But nobody really knows for sure what Robinson is thinking. So, you know, I've been asked, would you be surprised if it were 0 games? I wouldn't be surprised. Would you be surprised if it were 17 games? I wouldn't be surprised by that either. I don't know where she's going to come down on this. But I will say, you know, the NFLPA came out optimistic after the hearing because, you know, we hear about all these allegations, right? 24 lawsuits, 20 of which have been settled. There was a 25th that the judge threw out because the plaintiff wouldn't attach her name to the lawsuit. There was the New York Times report where, you know, there were many more women that talked to the Times but have not filed civil lawsuits. There were 2 women who have filed criminal complaints that didn't sue Watson. And then also, you know, you had the settlement with the Texans recently where there were 30 women who settled claims against the Texans. So that's 6 additional women that we don't know about. But the thing to keep in mind with regards to the NFL and Watson's potential suspension is that the NFL only presented the cases of 4 women. And the way that the CBA is structured, Robinson is only able to apply discipline based on the evidence that's presented in the hearing. So as far as Robinson's concerned, there's only 4 women that have accused Watson of these allegations, not, you know, 25 or 30 or however many, you know, that might be out there. And I think that could have an impact on the discipline. And I think that's why a lot of people went from predicting, well, he's going to be out the whole season to, oh, he could just be suspended 2 games.
Now, when you look at it, right, this is a lot to navigate with a team with high expectations. And I know that, you know, if it's a shorter suspension, we have higher expectations. But what kind of pressure is on Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry to kind of get this team focused and ready in case they have Deshaun Watson, you know, for the majority of the season to win a championship? Is it too many distractions to kind of, you know, ensure that they have a should be the favorite within that division?
Well, I can tell you, you know, having been here last year, there were a lot of distractions for the Browns during the season. You think about the Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham saga. But I will say that there is some pressure, I think, on Kevin Stefanski, you know, to produce this year after such a disappointing season. You know, if Watson is suspended 10 games, I think that pressure goes away because I don't think anybody's going to expect the Browns to go very far. But if Watson is suspended 2 games and this team, say, doesn't make the playoffs, then I think that would constitute a pretty disappointing season, especially in the context of you took this, you know, crazy swing on Deshaun Watson, trading away a good chunk of your future, giving up 3 first-round picks and paying him $230 million fully guaranteed. So, yeah, I think there is some pressure on this organization to deliver on that gamble. But it's hard to assess, like, what that pressure is until we know how many games Watson is actually going to play this year.
Yeah, and the fact that whatever the suspension would be, Jake, I mean, I imagine because he can't practice, right? Like, while you're suspended, you're away from the team. It's not like he can get reps in and anything like that, right? So when he,
well,
whenever he is available, right?
According to the CBA, he can practice the second half of the suspension. So let's say he's suspended 8 games. He could come back in week 5 and begin to practice with the team again. But he would be out for a significant chunk still, serving the first half of that suspension away from the team.
But if I recall, he's still allowed to practice during training camp, correct?
Training camp, yeah.
Correct. That's true as well.
Yeah, that doesn't begin until the start of the season. But I think the point I was trying to make, though, Jake, is it will make for a very interesting story about how they transition from Brissett to Watson when you consider that they're still trying to win games while Jacoby's the quarterback. So he's got to get whatever's going on during the week. But then you have, we got to start working in Deshaun so he's ready to take over, because I can't imagine that. Let's just, it's crazy hypothetical, right? Let's say they're 7-0 with Brissett at quarterback. It's not like they're going to go, well, we're going to stick with what we've got because we love the way Jacoby's praying. I mean, no, you paid him $230 million. This guy's going to play. So that to me, I'm just wondering how, you know, how that's all going to play out, especially as if it's later in the season when he's jumping into this thing. These are important games. I mean, this is getting ready for the playoffs, trying to maybe even, you know, get a playoff spot or win a division, whatever it is. That's going to be for I think, Stefanski, a really challenging transition. But certainly, I mean, the fact that you get Deshaun Watson, you look forward to it. But I just find that the most compelling story about this whole thing is how they will transfer, go from one quarterback to another. For a guy, it's not like he played last year and he's got some background. He has nothing. He's jumping into this thing with a new playbook and new teammates.
Yeah, it is going to be very tricky. And I will tell you, during the offseason, OTAs and minicamp, Deshaun Watson was getting all the reps, at least with the first team. I mean, he was getting the overwhelming majority of those reps. So, yeah, it will be very tricky for them to try to win games week to week with Jacoby Brissett while trying to reacclimate Watson into the system, into practices. So that is going to be a challenge, I think, for Kevin Stefanski, no doubt about it.
Jake, great to talk to you. Good stuff as always. All the best. And hopefully this is that Friday news dump, so you could, the time off you just, you know, cleared on your schedule today pays off for you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Again, and if we hear anything, you'll be the first to know, as we'll have it for you here on this show. And hopefully something does happen before 10 o'clock so we have something to tell you. But meanwhile, coming up, things getting quiet on the Donovan Mitchell front after yesterday. Man, there was a lot of wild rumors going around social media. I'll try to clear the air on that coming up next. It is Barton Hahn in for Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Bart and Hahn in for the guys, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. And Bart, we left our show yesterday, our show, which you can hear noon Eastern every day on ESPN Radio, Bart and Hahn. As we left our show, there was rampant rumors about Donovan Mitchell, and did a trade go down? There were reports, radio reports out of Utah saying a deal was done. And you know, I was freaking out because I'm like doing a show. I'm trying to text people to get some confirmation to see, all right, can we get something before the end of the show? Nothing. Crickets. And you know what? Still quiet. Nothing. Everything that I'm hearing is status quo. Whatever was going on coming out of Utah and all these crazy reports, people trying to be heroes on social media saying the deal's done. I'm my source to tell me the deal's done. It's like, man, get a blue check before I even start trusting you.
You know what I mean? 711.com hasn't
it
been
was
legit.
Your favorite. Yes, your favorite, 711sports.com. Yeah. But it's quiet. It's real quiet. And as Brian Windhorst told us yesterday, I kept referencing this on Get Up, and I trust Wendy. Remember, Wendy's the guy that the day before the Jazz traded Rudy Gobert, he talked about some other trade that the Jazz made. Royce O'Neal to the Nets? And he went like, you know, why would they do that? You know, he kind of hinted to you that something's coming. But on Get Up yesterday, he let everybody know, go to lunch.
Donovan Mitchell's situation is really headed towards a stalemate, Greeny. The sticker shock is out there for the price that the Jazz are asking. And the Jazz are like, look, we are in no rush. We're going to sit back and wait for you to meet it. The teams are like, we're not going to increase our prices. And Donovan Mitchell is not pushing it. So I hope everybody enjoys their summer.
Trying to enjoy my summer, but we're all on edge right now, wondering when this is going to happen, if it's going to happen, and if someone else, like the Miami Heat, are going to jump in this thing and take this guy away.
Yeah, you look at, you know, yesterday, Donovan Mitchell playing within it, like, you know, God is good, so, you know, give
us that's right. He put that tweet out, too, which had everybody freaking out.
Yeah, and then now you're trying to figure out where's Waldo, and you're like, okay, well, he sent that tweet. He's in White Plains, so maybe – you know, maybe it's the Knicks. Then you're like, Pat Riley just loves to be able to stick it to the Knicks. And, you know, he would love nothing better. And he was hanging out with Jimmy Buckets and all that type of stuff out in South Beach. He's rented a house in South Beach.
Yeah, but he was also hanging out with Emmanuel Quickly, pal. All right? So, I'm just saying. He was out in the Hamptons.
Yeah, but where?
But I know.
Isn't he renting a house in Miami?
That's an unsubstantiated rumor.
So it's stuck. You know, you're stuck in between it. Like, but this is where we at. We're with this logjam. And listen, we all know that deadlines, you know, spurn action. And there's no deadline in sight right now when you think about the basketball schedule. You know, but we're still waiting for Kevin Durant, that chip to be moved because he's the guy. He's the right rhino or the – you know, the white whale that's kind of sticking up there that's maybe holding up a lot of deals. It should be a chain reaction that happens once Kevin Durant is either traded, which will then free up maybe the Kyrie Irving trade, which would then say, okay, well, those teams that we thought were in are out. So now teams are saying, man, you know, it's only, you know, a couple teams bail out because they already made some trades. And then we'll get some finality.
Well, there's also a lot of people. There's a lot of free agents that still haven't signed yet. And a lot of that, you know, Langston Galloway actually said that a lot of the reason why some guys aren't signed is because teams aren't ready to move yet because they want to see what happens with, you know, Durant and Kyrie and also Donovan Mitchell. And I'm hanging around you too much, too, because I know you love to, like, you know, play with the English language. I said unstantiated. Unsubstantiated.
Close enough, like, close enough, man. Close enough.
Like, I'm just, like, I'm shortening words today.
It's like rounding up. If you say 5.5% of the word, we just round it up and we just put the rest in there. It's kind of like playing hangman. It's like a wheel of fortune.
The Knicks are trying to get into the zone with Donovan Mitchell. Get into the zone. Brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Twitter thing, though, is funny, right? Like, we want to believe things, and stuff gets put out there, and you get, like, caught up in it because there is this anticipation of, all right, something's going to go down. Somebody's got to hear something, right? There's always that, and that's what happened yesterday because everyone, like, that I checked in with yesterday was like, that's news to me. When I saw this thing done, news to me. You know, like, everyone was saying that. So it was the most bizarre thing ever that it started to become like a report in a radio station out in Utah turned into where just trusting it turned into a lot of people that were trying to flex or trying to get some clicks.
Yeah.
Were, you know, jumping off it, saying, I'm hearing it. And when you're in the, like, look, again, if Woj hasn't tweeted it, it ain't happening, right? It hasn't happened. If Wendy's not putting out like his little teases, it's nothing happening. And so right now there's nothing happening. And this could, because the NBA hasn't had a true off season in a couple of years.
Yeah.
A lot of teams are going into August like, I'm going to get away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just getting away and we'll revisit this stuff in September. But if you're Donovan Mitchell, Bart, do you feel like I got to say something?
I mean,
do you have to speak up? I mean, he's probably wondering, where am I going?
Not publicly, but he needs to press the issue. If he really wants a deal to be done, and he wants them to be aggressive about it, you know, because he doesn't really want to be in Utah. He needs to go there and say, hey, man, like, let's make this happen. I'm ready to move on. We know that, you know, I'm out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You guys are maybe thinking about going another direction. Let me be, like, the piece that brings you guys young talent. Like, let me be a part of that. Let me say that, hey, I didn't want to go, but the deal was too good. Let's figure it out. But, you know, what happened is what they got for Rudy Gobert – they'll suggest that they're trying to rebuild and they're moving in a different direction. And that should change. Yeah, it just raised the price. Rudy Gobert is the Christian Kirk of basketball.
I knew you were going to say that. You were never getting over the Christian Kirk contract.
Yeah, because Tyreek Hill would still be in place. AJ Brown would still be in place. They, you know, when they saw Jacksonville, they said, he got what? Oh, hell yeah. No. Same way Lamar Jackson was like, Kyler Murray got what? Oh, yeah, we good.
Yeah.
We good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, still. So we wait on this. How long we have to wait, it all depends. But yesterday, there was a little flurry of rumors and speculation, and so far, nothing has come of it. But as Jake Trotter told us, it's a Friday news dump, at least for the NFL. Would it be also the same in the NBA? Or, as Wendy said, should we all just enjoy our vacation? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you have any input on that. And any rumors you might have heard, because why not, right? See if you can break news for us today. Also coming up, which athlete should receive a 30 for 30 style docuseries as the captain? The Derek Jeter docuseries now had episode 2 last night. I watched it. I enjoyed it. Bart just doesn't care. But if they're an athlete, they're like, no, I really need a series on this guy. A Last Dance, you know, the Tom Brady one. You got the captain. Who is it? I've got a few. You can let us know at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, I'm sure, has a few as well. We'll discuss that and more with you. It's Keyshawn, J. Will Max, ESPN Radio. Bart and Hahn, in for the guys.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, Barton Hahn in for the guys. So, yes, Bart, last night, before we had some Thursday night baseball on ESPN, the Giants and the Dodgers, I did consume episode 2 of The Captain, the docuseries on Derek Jeter. And I know you might not be all into it, even though he's a Kalamazoo, Michigan guy. Like, you would think you'd be all in.
No, I love him as a player, but I'm not interested in his life. I mean, until you get to the women, I don't care.
Well, there was a little bit of the nightlife in New York in the 90s. So he had, like, some P. Diddy with him. He was showing, like, there was the night, I guess, one of the clubs got shot up, and he was going to go. And at the last minute, he was telling his boy, like, yeah, you know, I got a game tomorrow. I'm going to rest. And so, it's the great line of, like, you can't – if you're going to take a bite out of the apple, meaning New York, like, you got to nibble, like, a little at a time. And the way it was being talked about was, like, some guys, you get in with the wrong people, it eats you up, and you're done. Like, some stars that – some, you know, athletes that go to New York, and they can't perform, and they just keep eating alive because the nightlife can – it can destroy you. And Jeter just knew how to handle it. But anyways, it was I found that stuff to be really interesting. All the other stuff about how the Yankees dynasty began, all that's just to me comfort food. But the other stuff about how
women?
He handled.
Are we building up to the women?
I don't know. I guess we'll get there eventually.
I want to know
about
the bag.
But we asked this question: if there's an athlete though that so you're like not interested, who would you be interested in seeing a docuseries like this on? An athlete. Who would you want to see that you're like, man, those are some stories. I need to see that.
Well, Hulk Hogan. You know what I'm saying? Because you imagine being on the wrestling scene, how big he was with the movies and stuff, the stories that he had about the wrestling life on the road. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Man. The movies and all that stuff. Thunder Lips, yep. Hanging around Rocky Balboa. You know what I'm saying? All that good stuff.
Okay. How about Tiger Woods?
Yeah. I want to know about
Wouldn't
the women from
fascinating?
Wendy's. Didn't he have a chick from Wendy's? I mean, that's, like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Something like that.
That's what I'm
talking
about.
I don't know. There was that. There was also just everything that he's been through. I mean, this guy's been through a lot.
I want to know about the women.
But I don't know how much he would want to reveal, right? I think he'd be very
good. Yeah. But, I mean, he's not with the wife anymore. So, like, now I can go out and say, yeah. You know what I mean? Say hello to the bad guy.
Still has kids, though. I don't think he wants his kids to see some of that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't want his kids seeing that. Especially his son's going to be a golfer.
Charlie, him and Charlie hanging out. Yeah,
there's, there's nobody else. There's, like, no one that comes to Maui, like.
Well, LeBrick could do his own. Right, he gonna do his own.
LeBron's already doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, he gonna do his own. Yeah, he gonna do his own.
If anybody has a suggestion,
Floyd Mayweather.
ESPN.
Give me some money, Mayweather, baby. Give me some money, Mayweather. From Pretty Boy Floyd to Money Mayweather and all the women and all the money, the drug. Well, he can do drugs. He don't even eat candy. Nelly stole Floyd Mayweather's woman, Miss Jackson. I want to see a 30 for 30 on that one, Alan.
Yeah, I bet you do. That's why, like, if you're going to give me a docuseries, and I do, I am enjoying The Captain. I really am. But if you're going to, like, it's got to be raw enough to, like, get, like, the real story about some things.
But honestly,
put some rumors to rest and all that. I mean, they did a little of the A-Rod stuff too, with the Jeter A-Rod, the relationship thing, and some, you know, some of that. So,
but
it's
honestly,
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott in for the guys today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Go ahead, Bart.
Honestly, I think that's something we should ask the people, because I just talked myself. Would you rather see a 30-for-30 on Tiger Woods, or would you rather see a 30-for-30 on Floyd Mayweather? And let me, can I present, because I think everybody's automatically going to say, oh, no, give me Tiger Woods. But, man, let me make the case for Floyd Mayweather, who was previously Pretty Boy Floyd. You talk about what he did, you know, making his way up. You talk about the controversy between his uncle Roger becoming his trainer over his dad and then going back to
Before
his dad.
Before you storyboard this, can we just get to our guest?
Oh, man.
Yeah, like you're in storyboard mode right
now. Yeah, I was.
But Jun Lee, who joins us right now, ESPN Major League Baseball writer, he's been witness to this as we've walked out of Seaport together a couple of times. And so, Jun, you already know what life is like walking around with Bart Scott. You know there are tangents that we just go off on. How are you?
He's also just riding his scooter down the street at like 2 miles per hour.
That's right.
So everybody sees you.
That's right. But storyboarding
so he sticks
ideas
out above all of us.
But all right, look, we'll put aside our storyboarding of 30-for-30s that we want to see going forward, and let's just talk about current teams, current players, and the current league, which is Major League Baseball. There is a trade deadline now approaching that the All-Star break is behind us, and Juan Soto is a big prize that is now out there that is reportedly being shopped around. Where do we stand with this trade market, and do you believe he will be moved before the deadline?
I think that the Nationals are motivated to move him, and I think they have all the motivation to move him, just given the circumstances of, you know, everything getting out and you know, Soto kind of publicly commenting on all of it. But I do think that it's going to be difficult, because just given the circumstances around Soto's career, I mean, he's 23 years old. You know, he's putting up numbers that are historic. I mean, comparable to Ted Williams to this point in his career. It's going to be really, really hard to get something of equal value back in any trade package. And the fact that we're already throwing around, you know, maybe tossing in Patrick Corbin or, you know, Steven Strasburg in order to kind of make this trade even as a contract dump, I think kind of shows the level of difficulty that is going to come with this trade, because it's similar to the Mookie Betts trade, but I think it's even harder than that, just given Soto's age and his, you know, his status at this point in his career, where, you know, you're trying to dump off David Price, and as a result, you also have to throw in Mookie Betts, you know, for the Dodgers to take on Price's contract. And if you look at what the Red Sox have gotten from that Mookie Betts deal, you know, there hasn't really been a lot of guys who have worked out. Jeter Downs has kind of been a little bit of a bust of a prospect. Alex Verdugo hasn't really necessarily lived up to the hype there. And so, it's going to be a really, really difficult circumstance if the Nationals really want to start, you know, kickstart a rebuild here by trading Juan Soto. There's not really a lot of teams across, you know, any team across Major League Baseball who's going to have the prospects that are going to, you know, be equivalent to, you know, acquiring Juan Soto.
Yeah. Well, one of the teams that may be able to stomach, we know he definitely has the money, it's the New York Mets, but would they ever in a million years trade a young, talented player like that within the division?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the tough part. And I don't think that the Nationals – I think that's probably the last-case scenario for the Nationals is trading within the division and having Juan Soto haunt you for years to come. I mean, obviously the Mets have the money to do it, but the thing that's made this team successful over the course of this season is not just having the top end talent, but having the depth across the entire roster. And trading Juan Soto, needing to trade a couple of kind of major league ready guys, needing to trade a couple of your top prospects in order to get him, I think it would kind of ruin a lot of what has made New York, you know, the Mets successful so far this season, because, you know, they've had guys like Jacob deGrom go down at points. You know, Max Scherzer go down, but they've had the depth of that rotation and within the organization to be able to keep, you know, keep them at pace to lead the division in the NL East. And so, you know, it would be one of those things where I would be really, really cautious if I'm a team that's already successful and the Nationals are asking for basically your entire organizational depth in order to get Juan Soto, because we've seen with the Los Angeles Angels and Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout that, you know, just because you have a superstar player, it doesn't mean that you're automatically going to get a bid to the playoffs.
I'm talking with Jun Lee, talking baseball with Jun Lee here on Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, Bart and Hahn, in for the guys. So the Yankees lose the doubleheader yesterday. They get swept by the Astros, and there's obviously great concern. As you know, in New York, there's going to be panic because can't beat this team again. you can hear him already. Oh, we're never going to beat these guys. Like, that's just what the Astros have been for the Yankees all these years. But the Aaron Judge thing continues to hover over this franchise. What did you make of how Judge reacted when Marley Rivera asked him a very simple, a very well-placed question about a little boy from Queens who wants to know, say it ain't so, Joe, is this the last year of Aaron Judge with the Yankees? And Aaron Judge gave a very measured, cold response that said nothing. What do you read into that?
I mean, I think that's kind of the negotiating position that Aaron Judge has to take at this moment if he wants to maximize his value on the free agent market. If he wants to make the most money possible, you have to at least get the other side to think that it is a pretty real possibility that he won't be in a Yankee uniform next year. And so I think that there's a lot of self-interest, you know, rightfully so from Judge's point of view to, you know, kind of create all this speculation around him, even if it's not something that he necessarily wants as a guy who has kind of avoided any distractions his entire career. It is good for, I think, him in terms of the final dollar value that he's going to get in the free agent market to create as much speculation around him and create and kind of obfuscate whatever might be happening down the road with him. And so, you know, if I'm a Yankee fan, I think it's kind of just the status quo is just throwing more gasoline on the fire in terms of trying to ramp up the speculation on his future.
You know, we talk about, you know, Soto being a fit there in case Judge has a contingency plan. You know, maybe Ohtani may be available in a couple of years. But when I look at it, and you talk about both teams in New York really struggling with their rotation and, you know, concerns about Jacob DeGrom, and, you know, having setbacks, you know, who's one of these arms out there that's available that could play both? You know, I always go to the Reds and I always
don't say his name.
Play with his name, Luis Castillo.
It's not Castillo.
It just sounds better that way. I like
said, but that's not his name though.
How do you pronounce? I don't have Rosetta Stone. I don't know how to roll my L's and O's. Like, you know, but in all honesty, like, will he be one of the, you know, the best arms and most available players out there that can help both teams? You know, while we're thinking about bats, should we be thinking about arms as far as being able to go the distance?
Yeah, I mean, I think bullpen arms, too, on top of all of that, is something that every single contender at the trade deadline is looking for. We see every single year that, you know, the price for relievers shoots up because everyone procrastinates on it. And then all at once, everyone is demanding good relievers. I think Castillo is a good name. I think that two other guys that we should look towards in terms of being potential big trade deadline targets are in Oakland, just given their kind of disaster of a situation this season and the fact that there's speculation about them moving to a place off Las Vegas. You know, it's Frankie Montas and Paul Blackburn. You know, Blackburn was an all-star this year. Montes has been, I think, since the beginning of the season, kind of labeled as a guy that is going to be one of the big names at the trade deadline from a pitching perspective that is going to move because Oakland has no use for him this year. And so I would say that those are the two big names that I would look out for, just as, you know, solid, you know, mid to top-ish rotation guys who could definitely help a playoff team down the stretch.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.